Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
We'll commence today's teaching by reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 14, from verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, even all your numbered men, according to your complete number, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me." Again, quickly, let's read from Galatians chapter 6, I'll read verse 9. He said, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Notice there, he said there is a proper time, but then that proper time only comes to you or due season if you continue in doing good without giving up. Now, these two scriptures are the foundations for the things that we are going to discuss today. Now, we have been speaking for a while about what we titled Generating Spiritual Forces for the Redemption of a Nation. There are a number of points that we have learned as time has been going on. We have established that good things don't happen by accident, but they happen because of an effort on the part of people. That Isaac Newton told us that every object continues in the way it's being, that is either in a state of rest or uniform motion, until you consciously apply a force to turn it around from what it has been like. That is, if you see a nation that is in trouble, the trouble will not end by itself. Somebody must bring an end to that trouble. We have explained that. We said that what we experience in life actually is a result of all the spiritual forces generated by the hearts that are in there. There are three things control the events on this earth. The purpose of God, which we said God is not in a hurry. What he couldn't do in one generation, he will do in the next. So it depends on that generation to decide whether what God wants to do will happen in their generation or will not happen in their generation. So number two, we said, is the behavior of men, that is the people, by their acts, by the state of their hearts, they determine the kind of things that come upon them. They are releasing forces into the air that either bring good to them or repel good from them. And we said, last of all, is the prayers of men amongst these three. That is, the prayers of men, we mean the men who have repented of their sins and are walking in a manner pleasing to God, and God looks at those people favorably. And we said it is because of these people that preservation comes on the land. It is because of these people that progress and prosperity will come upon a land, and that these people must take up their responsibilities before God. God has never expected that everybody will begin to do good. He said, but there is a critical mass that I must have that's offering prayers up to me, and not just praying alone, but their lifestyle must be a lifestyle of prayer. You get what I'm going to say? That is, I don't want men who stay all night. I have seen people pray before who are very godless in their acts. I have seen people who have no respect for the laws of God give me advice on how I should pray about a particular situation. And I wonder, what do you call prayer? It doesn't concern you how you live. When you go to that area, you say, I beg, forget that side. Listen, with God, prayer is not just an utterance, it's a lifestyle. Do you get the point I'm making? That's why I said last week that prayer is not just something you do when you are in need. It's a life you live. It's something you do all the time. It's a product of the fact that you have faith in God. When problem came upon Hezekiah, he faced the wall and prayed. And the first thing he said to God is that you recognize how I have walked before you in the integrity of my heart. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is, my whole life is a prayer. This is just a critical point in which I'm pouring forth words that are coming out of a lifestyle. You understand what I'm trying to say? Godless people, no matter how many hours you spend in prayer, it does not make any difference before God. You may as well spend your hours sleeping. Before you begin to pray, you must come to God recognizing that he is to be feared, he is to be respected, he is to be obeyed, and you must expect that he is the one that can bring good things into your life. We have established all these points, that people who have done this are the people that God expects to pray, and then he will, for their sake, bless a whole generation. That God said to Abraham, I have blessed you so that you will be a blessing. There are many people I would love to bless, but if I call them directly, they will not answer. So what I do is I call somebody who will answer, and I will bless that person beyond what he requires. I will bless that person beyond what he can utilize. Therefore, his blessing will spread to other people. Do you understand my point? That is, in life, not everybody will ever agree to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody will ever agree to start a company. Most people are content with taking jobs. Most people are not willing to take that risk. And that's the way it is with spiritual things also. God recognizes that few people will do what is necessary to get blessings down to earth. So he picks on the few people who will be willing to do that, and then their blessings will spread onto other people. That is, Nigeria as a nation, is everybody going to repent? Let a national day in which everybody repents, it doesn't happen. It will not work. What works is that certain people therein, the men like Daniel, Moses, Samuel, who are working with that kind of heart, men like Job, they will offer their prayers to God for the whole land, and the whole land will be redeemed for their sake. You understand the point I'm making there? Now, these are among the things that we have seen. Now, last week, I introduced this topic, which I'm going to talk about in details today. And those are the things that we read from Numbers chapter 14 and Galatians chapter 6. In Numbers chapter 14 is a story we all know. God wanted to take the children of Israel into a promised land. And when they got there, they sent in spies. And those spies saw things. Joshua, Caleb, and 10 other spies. Now, all of them saw the same thing. They saw a prosperous land. They saw fruitful land. They said, this is a place where we don't need to practice irrigation. The water is either coming from above or it's coming by itself from springs. They said, wow, this is a wonderful land. Then they saw some other things, challenges in the land. Do you understand my point? That is, they saw giants. They saw troublemakers. And then they came back with their reports. 10 people emphasized the issue of the giants. And 2 of them emphasized the issue of the blessing. Now let me say this. That is the way the whole of life is. Most Nigerians who want to die to go to America have never been there. They don't know what an average person in that country goes through. But somebody reported to them certain goods present therein. Are you getting my point? And downplayed the evil there. Now, he's living in a country. Then he emphasizes the negative things where he's living and overplays those things and downplays the goods there. Let me emphasize this to you. Good and evil, they are present in every place in life. You won't go to a place where all you find there is good. But what you see is a matter of the state of your heart. Are you getting my point? That is, you go to a place and say everything here is bad. It's really not true. It's not everything that is bad. Certain things are bad. That's why God requires that occasionally we settle down and count our blessings. Are you getting my point? Because if you don't, and this is a fact, what you focus on tends to fill the whole picture. You will think that is the only thing that is happening. Are you getting my point? Now, what is the importance of that? It can bait you into a wrong place. If you read about Issachar in Genesis chapter 49, verse 14, the Bible says that Issachar is a strong donkey lying down between the sheepfolds. Verse 15 says, when he saw that the resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, he bowed his shoulder to bear burdens and became a slave at first labor. Are you getting my point? That is because he focused only on what was good in a particular place and did not realize that to eat that good, he had to be a slave. He had jumped in there and had become enslaved before he realized the real situation of what was going on. Are you getting my point? That is why you must allow God to enlighten your eyes that you will make sound judgments. But that's just by the way. Let me sit on my main discussion for today. Now, so when these people came, they made the heart of the people melt, God said. And then virtually everybody, except a few, said what the 10 spies said, they are very correct. Now, listen to this. Because of the reports they heard, they began to speak. That is, they said things are bad. Therefore, they began to speak. Now, get my point. The people just said the giants are big, the giants are difficult. I said, but the land is good. They said, we know, but the giants are a problem. So they said, our children will suffer. They had not yet entered the promised land, but they began to prophesy upon their children, upon themselves, that you have brought us here to die. We are going to die. They said all these things about themselves, and God said, you see, this is the way things are. What I heard you say in my ears is what I will do to you. You are getting my point? He said, because you say you will die, you will most certainly die. This is the way life is. Every time in life is a test you are going through. Every time situations come upon you, God wants to see how you will respond. And your response will decide what you will get out of that situation. Joshua and Caleb said, we are able to take the land. Do you know they took the land? At the age of 80, 40 years later, because of what Caleb said that day, he went up to his friend, his brother Joshua, and said, 40 years ago, Moses promised me this mountain. I know there are giants in the mountain. He said, but my strength at the age of 80 is exactly the way it was at the age of 40. That is because of what he said, God preserved his strength. There were giants on the mountain, but Caleb personally led an invasion of the mountain and took on the giants and slaughtered the giants. What am I trying to say? What Satan tries to do, I explained that beginning from last week. What Satan tries to do is to discourage you. He will say, investing in Nigeria is very risky. And then telecom companies will come from all over the world and start investing in Nigeria and be making money. But the Nigerian man who was there, they told him investing is risky. They said power supply is not constant. Power supply is not constant. People are building companies every day. Are you getting the point I'm going to make here? That is, somebody will sit down and refuse to tackle the giants in his life, refuse to tackle the giants in his society. It is not because the giants cannot be tackled, but because what Satan has done is to discourage him from tackling the giants. I have persuaded those giants, who any Israelite that desired to face them, will have taken them on and killed them. But by their very appearance, they discourage you. You will notice something reading through the scriptures. The people of God, anytime they agree to face giants, they always won. That's a lesson for us in life. You want to start a business, you want to start something, you want to start an endeavor. What are the giants? Power supply is not constant. You never know about these local government people. They start telling you stories. As if in other places in the world, they did not have giants when they were going to start their own companies. They also had giants. I'm explaining a point here. That is, everything in life is a test. And it's how you respond to the issues that face you in life that decide how life will produce things for you. If you say the land is difficult, it will become hard anytime you try to plow it. Do you get my point? And listen to this, you always have reasons. One day I was discussing with some people, one of them, a senior person to me, and I said that Nigeria is a good country and great things are going to happen. He said, let me explain to you why you are making a mistake. And he settled down and began to tell me problems. But when he had finished speaking that day, I told him that you don't get the point. I am not saying I am not aware of what is going on. Faith does not mean I'm blind. I am not moved by what I see, or I don't walk by what I see. Does not mean I don't see. I see. Do you get my point? Did Joshua and Caleb see the giants? They saw the giants. But they said, we don't take our deductions from the presence of giants. That the presence or absence of giants does not affect whether God will give us a land or it won't. It just means we have to take on the giants if they are present. Are you getting my point? That is, they consistently said the same thing. We are well able. We are well able. We are well able. And eventually, they were able and they took the land. Are you getting my point? And eventually, they were able and they took the land. Why? Because they said the same thing consistently. Listen, what Satan tries to do in life is to discourage people. Ensure that they don't take the step that is necessary for God to pour a blessing upon them. Are you getting my point? Now, there was something we began to say last week, which is exactly what we are still continuing on. That a man of prayer, we said, must be a righteous man in the sight of God, must be a man whose faith actually is solid, believing that God can do things for him and through him. Now, when such a man arises, everybody becomes a messenger of Satan to discourage such a one. He declares, like I did in that meeting that day, that goodness and mercy is coming upon this land, and somebody tries to get him to change his opinion. Listen, as long as I don't change my opinion, as long as people like me don't change their opinion and they continue to say the same things, listen to me, goodness and mercy will most certainly be manifested. That's why I read from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It said, let us not become tired of doing good. That is, if we are speaking with words. Remember I said last week that we are in a battle, that every negative word issued forth against this nation is a weapon for Satan. Listen, this is the way life is. Satan has no authority on the earth, and technically speaking, God doesn't. The people that have the authority are the human beings that live on the earth. So we read from Psalm 115 verse 6 that day, that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. Are you getting my point? So it's a battle of words. Somebody says, it's a lie. Bad things are going to happen. And I say, no, it is true. Great things are going to happen. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Now he begins to give me evidence to show me that he's right. Look at what these people did. Look at what is happening. Have you heard that this is what World Bank has done? Have you heard? He tells me every negative thing. And I tell him that despite all of this, let me tell you something. The Bible said that Abraham considered his body as good as dead, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief. Therefore, you have told me everything, but my own premise is hung upon God, which the Bible said that can make wars cease, that can lift up one and bring down another. And I know that there are enough resources he has placed in this nation that even if petroleum were to dry today, Are you getting my point? We can still prosper. And more importantly, is that God doesn't prosper people because of natural resources. He prospers them because of human resources. So if you tell me everything you want to say, I stand by what I have said. That peace will be upon this land, prosperity will be upon this land. And if you are going to wrinkle, wink your nose at me, I don't know what I'm saying, be careful. That nose may never straighten back. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because it is dangerous to hear a prophetic word and make a joke of it. It is dangerous. The man who did it in 2 Kings, Elisha looked at him and said, you will see it, but you will not eat of it. Listen, what I said earlier, that it's a matter of battle. We are using our words. Satan needs the words of his gang, let me use that word, to wage war. God needs our words to wage war. That's why I emphasized that neither God nor Satan directly have influence on the earth. They require people on the earth to cooperate with them. That's why I said in Amos chapter 3 that God does nothing except he first discusses with his servants, the prophets, because it is when they prophesy his plans that things begin to happen on the earth. Do you get my point? That is, if great things will happen, you must never be discouraged. If you hear of wars and rumors of war, it must not change your opinion. Are you getting my point? That is, it is that steadfastness of faith that actually eventually overturns things in your favor. You are getting my point? And listen, when you do this, not just for yourself, there are people who have suffered for their righteousness, who have suffered for their integrity, all right, in the land. When unrighteous people were prospering, they said, no, I refuse to prosper through unrighteousness. God says, such people are the reasons why I will bless this nation. Now, listen to me. Such people, when blessing comes, God gives them a super abundant measure. Interestingly, it passes on to their children and their children's children. Do you get my point? You know, I've explained this again and again. This is what guarantees your tomorrow. It is not that you struggled and you made the best investments. You have earned money now. And as soon as you got a good job, you say, this is my opportunity. Opportunity to do what? To buy stocks. Opportunity to do what? To buy land. Opportunity to do what? To build my own house. You keep on using your opportunity, using your opportunity, using your opportunity. All right, fine. Except that you don't understand something, that it is actually a spiritual opportunity that you are wasting. You thought these physical things would guarantee your tomorrow. God said, no, that is not what guarantees tomorrow. What guarantees tomorrow are the spiritual seeds that you sow. So you are earning plenty of money. One of the things you should do, help somebody finish school. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Sow a spiritual seed into somebody's life and don't make sure that he remembers it for the rest of life. Do it and forget it. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm using this thing to explain something. When you labor in your heart in faith, struggle spiritually so that a nation can be redeemed, you are making, look, this is not your intention, but this is what you end up doing. You make your children the powerful people of the next generation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? This is how it happens, though. God expects all of us to be a blessing to other people, not just to be enjoying ourselves alone, not to get up and start grumbling, Nigeria is bad, Nigeria is bad, Nigeria is bad. I've said it's a war of words. Satan will try to discourage you, but you must never give him your words. You must never give him your tongue. You must yield your members, the Bible says, as instruments of righteousness. It must not be instruments of unrighteousness. What is unrighteousness? Agreeing with Satan. Do you understand my point? There's what I call excuses for Satan. What are excuses for Satan? Everything that we say that Satan holds on and keeps us in bondage. And these excuses for Satan are real things. The explanation that your parents might give you, your friends will give you, and interestingly enough, the news networks give you. There are papers I don't read. Don't spend my money on them. Once a newspaper decides that he must always tell me everything that is wrong in a nation, it's a bad newspaper. Do you get my point? There are more good things happening in Nigeria today than bad things. If all the story you have to tell me are about negative things, you're a bad newspaper. One of the most popular magazines in the world is the Reader's Digest. I think they sell about 14 million copies every month worldwide, published in several languages. But they are known for one thing, their positive outlook to life. Because most journalists are alarmists, scare people, they want to buy the news. But this is the power of righteousness. Those people refuse to do that, but they are currently the leading magazine in the world. Every month they sell about 14 million copies. If you stand by the truth, because when you keep on giving people negative information, they lose heart. And once you faint in your heart,
You will die before the day of promise. You know, that's what we read just in Galatians chapter 6. He said there is a proper time, there is a due season. A lot of people lose heart. They lose faith before that season. I told you things are in measures. Goodness and mercy is coming. Greatness and prosperity will soon appear. But what Satan tries to do is to make sure that that thing doesn't meet you there by giving you all the negative information. You must never let that happen. You wake up every morning. This is your assignment before God. You generate the spiritual force with your words. You wake up and say, goodness and mercy will follow us in this land all the days of our lives, and we will abide in the presence of the Lord forever and ever. You say, I am the salt of the earth. He said, bad things are coming. He said, listen, good things will happen because I live here. He said, God said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Are you getting my point? They say, God can save by few, he can save by multitude. It doesn't matter. Once God is the one saving, we are saved. He said, the few of us that are speaking like this, God said, I will save by you. Do you get what I'm going to say? You position yourself in a place where he shows that you are on God's side. Let me tell you how to be on God's side. You know, we sing this song, who is on the Lord's side? I am on the Lord's side. It is not by singing. You know how you do it? Go and read Numbers chapter 14 we read just now. God said, these people, they conspired against me. How did they conspire against God? Every time you open your mouth and agree with opposition. So the point I'm making is that the way by which you are on God's side is to stand with him in the face of opposition. And God does not expect a human being to do much. He just expects him to say something. Are you getting my point? What God always looks out for in life is what you have said with your mouth. Do you get my point? All the days that Job was tempted, the Bible makes it very clear to us that all the people, both God and Satan and the angels and the devils were looking out for, they were listening for what Job would say with his mouth. I'm encouraging us, therefore, that we must never let the negative things of life discourage us. If you are a servant of God and you are walking with God, every day you will lift up a positive voice in prayer to God. And as you go out every day, you will see challenges. You will see things that will try to discourage you. But you must maintain that positive word from the throne of God through your mouth. Cooperating with what God wants to do, don't ever forget this, is a battle that we are in. And this battle is fought primarily in the heart and with our mouth. I don't mean, it's not as if, you know, all the good people, all the Christians gang up and form your own party. That is not the issue. The issue is that in our hearts we will maintain a particular faith. And in our hearts we will walk righteously before God and before other men. And we will maintain a particular kind of talk about the country. People will say that, can you imagine, this country is very corrupt. They say, listen, this country is going somewhere great. It used to be a very corrupt nation. But I thank God that great things are beginning to happen. Corruption is being eradicated. And this is the power of prophesying. Prophesying is when God gives you his ideas and you begin to declare it on the earth. And the earth responds to the dominant words in the air. Are you following my point? One of the reasons why good things have eluded us for so long is that nobody has ever agreed that good things are coming. That is, when the good things are coming, we will not even stretch forth our hands towards it. Are you following my point? Don't let Satan discourage your heart. Always cooperate with God with your tongue. Always continue walking righteously. Don't let anybody persuade you that righteousness does not pay. I explained something before. We are not doing righteousness because of what it pays. We are doing righteousness because it is the right thing to do. Are you getting my point? We are not giving to life because life will reward us. We are giving to life because it is the right thing to do. However, God said, when you do that, I will now cause goodness to come to you. You will be the first, you will be a partaker of the first fruits. The Bible said like this, the husbandman that labors of a necessity has to be a first partaker of the fruits. That is, when good and quietness and prosperity will come, it will first branch in your house. Are you getting my point? I've said all of these things to let us understand that good things don't happen spontaneously. Men gather, women gather, because of their faith in God, they order their lives aright in the presence of God, and they begin to offer prayers to God. And because of that, faith becomes even larger in their hearts, and they begin to speak words. You cannot be praying for the country and start speaking negatively. If you want to know a Christian that is not praying for the nation, no. Now, get my point. I'm not saying he doesn't go for prayer meetings. Listen, I am not saying that he doesn't stay all night in his church. I mean that his heart is really not offering prayers. Hear how he talks about the country. Everything is terrible. And there's no hope here. Listen to me. Let me close with this. There is hope. Are you getting my point? Listen, there is no trouble coming upon this now. If you hear the noise of trouble, if you hear the noise of shaking, let me tell you what is about to be shaken are troublemakers. The people that will not let us progress are the ones that will be shaken. But those of us who want good, those of us who will live righteously, we will be established, and no evil man will be able to pull you down. Do you believe what I'm going to say? Now, that is the fact. That is the fact. And you must wake up every day declaring this thing. That one day, this will be a delightsome land that people will be running to. That people will wish they were born in. And listen, it's going to happen very shortly. I'm not speaking about things that will happen, you know, when my generations have passed away. No. Actually, it has begun now. It has begun. Listen to me. Nobody can prove to me. I have had discussions with people. They will sit down and tell me. Somebody told me once, there are no jobs in Nigeria. I said, there are jobs in Nigeria. He said, what do you mean? He said, there are no jobs. I said, there are jobs. I said, if it is to sweep gutter and to wash plates in restaurants, there are jobs in Nigeria. Is that not what we go to do when we go to America and Europe? If it is to drive taxi and ride Okada, there are jobs in Nigeria. That is what most of us go to do when we go to America. I told you, it's a matter of perception. You will see good, you will reject it. The people who said there are no jobs in Nigeria, listen to them, they don't get jobs the place they run to. I hope you know. They don't. This is the interesting part. The same people that get jobs in Nigeria are the ones who also get it abroad. It's a matter of perception. So we sat on that day, I argued. They said, Nigeria is a very bad, terrible country. I said, so is America. So is South Africa. South Africa is one of the most violent nations on the earth. But Nigerians go there every day. Listen, it's what you want to see, you will see. I see goodness. I see mercy. Are you getting my point? I see prosperity. I see increase. I see forward movement every day. There are negative ones, yes, but I choose to focus like Caleb and Joshua on the positive ones. And listen, my heart responds. My being responds. My physical flesh responds. I become healthy. Many people are sick. You know why they are sick? Because they have allowed Satan to discourage them. Your business will not do well. Therefore, the man becomes sick. And because of his sickness, his business does not do well. If he had refused the word of Satan, he said, but look at companies that have closed. As companies were closing, others were opening. Someone was describing one particular business that opened in Enugu some time ago. Now, he said, those guys who opened this business, there was a line of business they were in before. The problems in the nation made them close. And then, what did they do? Run abroad? No, they opened their eyes to other areas. And then they began. Let's open another branch of business. And that one began to flourish. And the one from which they pulled out, events had changed again, all right? And people there are beginning to flourish again. Listen, as trouble rises in one place, goodness begins in another place. And let me tell you, this is not unique to Nigeria. It's like that all over the world. One book I was reading recently, the man explained how overnight the fortune of himself and all his clients was reduced to zero because of a change of legislation in America. What am I trying to say? It's what you want to see that you will see. What am I saying tonight? Goodness and mercy is coming. But if you must experience it, you must stay in the position of faith and positive speech towards the nation, and you will experience it when it finally comes. Do you understand that point?
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.